The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So here's one of the most disturbing lines, I think, in all the scriptures. The hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think that he's offering worship to God. And what's so disturbing about that is that if someone can think that they're doing God's will and get that so spectacularly wrong, how can any of us know if we're right when we try to do God's will? This raises the subject of discernment. It's one of the things that people come to the priest to talk about very, very frequently. How can I know if I'm doing God's will or not? Now, it's a very delicate and complicated polyvalent subject, but if I could just give you some of the most basic principles, okay? In the science of discernment, there are two great dimensions: the objective dimension and the subjective dimension. And of the two, the objective is much, much easier to discern. Objectively speaking, God will never call you down a path that contradicts a path he's already called you to follow. And so our Lord will never call you into sin. That would contradict your baptismal commitment. And he'll never call you down a path that will contradict your life's commitment as well. He'll never call a mother or a father to become so involved in something outside the home that they neglect their home in the process. He'll never call a priest to become so involved in something outside his parish that he'll neglect the souls that have been placed under his care. That's the easy part. Okay? The hard part is the subjective dimension. Because in subjectively discerning what God is calling you to do, he works through desires. Now, this was voiced very, very eloquently by the famous Trappist monk Thomas Merton in his book, Thoughts in Solitude, in which he wrote, "Lord, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not know if I am even doing your will. And the fact that I think that I'm doing your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I do believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. May I never act apart from that desire in anything that I do." In discerning the Lord's will, the holiness of our souls before our Lord and our desire to do his will is the foundation of proper discernment. When a soul is not living a holy life, when they're not desiring what God desires, when they're outside of the state of grace, it's the evil spirit that consoles you and the Holy Spirit that agitates you. Holy Spirit tries to disturb you, upset you, keep you from having any real peace for hope of turning you around. While the evil spirit offers you false consolations to keep you going in the darkness. But when a soul is following the Lord, striving to make God's priorities his own, living in a state of grace, the reverse is the case. It's the evil spirit that agitates, divides, disturbs, and upsets, while the Holy Spirit offers his beautiful fruits: love, joy, peace, patient endurance, and all the rest. Furthermore, a telltale sign of the activity of the Holy Spirit is that your activities are open for all to see. Whereas when you're following the evil spirit, you want to keep things hidden and secret and in the shadows. Just like our Lord said in the Gospel of John, The man of truth welcomes the light so that all might see that his deeds are done in righteousness. But the man of evil hates the light for fear that his evil deeds may be exposed. This work was summarized. One of my favorite examples now, it comes from the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who had one of his brothers coming and saying, you know, what is God asking of me to do? And he instructed his brother to go into the chapel and pray for 2 solid hours with the intention of wanting nothing other than the honor and glory of God in whatever he might do. And at the end of those 2 hours, to follow what he desired. Now, after you do all that, will you be doing God's will? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. However, if you're off, you won't be too far off, and the Lord can course correct with very little effort in the future a soul that is surrendered to him. So discernment of God's will, it's a very small thing that makes a very, very big difference. Paul and Silas, back in our first reading, they discern that they're supposed to go to the city of Philippi. And in so doing, they baptize Lydia and change the course of history, because that's the first baptism in the continent of Europe. Small thing that makes a big difference. May we strive to discern our Lord's will and to do it. Amen.